Dr. Jeannie Karen Singfield, who joins us now on the Tim Jones and Chris Arps show to discuss her new book, Taxes Have Consequences, co-authored with Drs. Art Laffer and Brian Domitrovic. Dr. Jeannie, good afternoon and welcome to News Talk STL.
Hey, it's nice talking with you.
Yeah, great to have you on. So, Dr. Jeannie, tell our audience, why did you and your co-authors decide that this was the time to write the what appears to be the quintessential compendium on the history of taxes in the United States?
Well, Art and Brian had been working on it intermittently in different ways as an economist and as a historian. I came in as a data freak, so now it's a history book.
Mm-hmm.
So it really got done in January, and you know how long it takes to finally get published. But it's a wonderful book. It's just sort of showing you what a government can do by raising taxes and hardening the economy. Mm. A good example was the income tax started in 1913 at 7%, and it was up to about 67%. Wow. By the late 80s. And then it went down a little bit, and you got the roaring 20s, and then they put it back up again and trashed the economy until probably the 60s. So it's a very interesting thing. Every time you increase the taxes, the revenue you see from the wealthy goes down, but the people who are harmed are the working class.
There's a great
chapter you should read on ways to avoid taxes.
Dr. Singfield, during the Trump administration, he lowered taxes, got rid of a lot of regulations, and we saw the economy really, really boom. Talk about how that happened, and also talk about how the Honorable Donald J. Trump wrote the foreword for your book, Taxes Have Consequences. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we had gotten, you know, different input. Originally was going to end at 2000 and, you know, a little bit earlier. And what really happened was at the time that Trump came into office, our corporate taxes were the highest in the world. Mm. And guess what? A lot of our international companies moved their assets outside. He reduced that dramatically, and the money came back in. The taxes for individuals went down, and there was money to spend and to invest. I mean, it's a simple concept. If you try to tax your way into wealth, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. Speaking to Dr. Jeannie Singfield, author of the new book, Taxes Have Consequences, Dr. Singfield, as you've pointed out, this is such an easy thing for if people look at the canopy that you paint in this book, a history telling of taxes from over 100 years now, you can kind of see the patterns that you just laid out. When government gets involved and raises those taxes, things in the country seem to struggle, people struggle, businesses struggle, and then when people come in and lower taxes, the opposite seems to happen. Dr. Singfield, this really shouldn't be. Having a low, fair tax rate for all Americans and businesses really shouldn't be a partisan issue, right? It's like, why can't both parties figure this out?
You know, you sometimes wonder. I think sometimes people think that if you raise taxes on people, they will just pay them. And I'm serious, mm-hmm. in that you will get more revenue. But all that happens is people figure out ways. I mean, a good example is a normal person out there, right? They put their money in a 401k. Why? To avoid taxes. Your employee pays for your medical. Why? To avoid taxes. Hey, if you buy cigarettes in Missouri, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you buy cigarettes in Missouri? You have the lowest taxes in America.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at it, it's consistent. There's sort of it's not exactly clear because when you talk about a single tax rate, like federal income taxes, but what you have to see during that same period, states added state taxes and local taxes and property taxes, and then when they call implicit taxes, you know, taxes because of regulations and stuff. And it's like, you look at the places that work well, they have low taxes. And the states that don't work well have higher taxes. You're right. I don't understand why people don't understand. It's like they have debt that they want to pay off, and the only thing they can do is try to take it out of people.
Dr. Singfield, if we eliminated the federal income tax magically tomorrow, could we fund the government that the people want?
Well, it would depend on what you replaced it with. You have states like Tennessee that don't have any income tax, but they're able to support themselves with sales taxes. There's other types of taxes, you know, corporate taxes, whatever. So the issue is, can you change a single tax and ignore the impact? No. But is there an optimal amount that's reasonable so that the basic things that you're trying to do with a, you know, with the country work? And clearly, it's not as high as it is now. It seems like the data is showing it's, oh, in the 20s, you know. Mm. Or even lower the federal taxes. You want to have the booms. And you got to lower the corporate taxes. Or some places you get rid of them.
Mm-hmm. What about, Dr. Singfield, the city earnings tax? Let's talk about the city of St. Louis. You just mentioned that behavior a lot of times is dictated by the different tax policies in different one city versus another. Or you point out the cigarette issue, you know, right? We have a border here with Illinois of Illinois versus Missouri, one state versus another. Many look at the city of St. Louis and wonder what the heck's been going on the last 80 years. Why do people keep leaving? And people point to crime, they point to the education system, but doesn't the tax policy of the city of St. Louis also, isn't it also affecting that flight outwards? Many would point to the ever-growing skyline of Clayton, just a couple miles away across that magical tax line.
Yeah, well, and Show Me Institute and Dr. Hasleck did a study, I'm not sure how many years ago, and he looked at all the cities, you know, municipalities that had earnings taxes and the impact they had on their surrounding areas. And in every case, what you found is that less people moved into a city and more moved out. Now, you may think that 1%, it sounds like a small amount.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say after all your income, you're only making 8% of the dollar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of the money. And now they take away 1. Now you're only making 7. And you're competing with someone who's making 8. Well, who's going to do better?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a simple concept, you know? And then you have these deals now that's going to be hurting, I think, the city of St. Louis, is they tax people who live outside the city and work in the city.
Right.
So companies can make a decision to move some of their employees outside the city.
Dr. Singfield, oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Dr. Singfield, many scholars have made the argument that the constitutional amendment establishing the income tax is unconstitutional. What's your view on that?
Yeah, you know, given it was passed by 2/3, and what was their argument about why it's unconstitutional? Is it unconstitutional because how they make people pay for it, or it's just that you shouldn't pay taxes? You see what I mean? I'm not sure why people would think it would be unconstitutional, but it isn't a problem if you decide to, you know, lower taxes.
Mm-hmm.
That's constitutional. You can lower taxes.
Yeah,
Tim, what is the argument that people use that say it's unconstitutional as the attorney?
You know, I think it's some, it has to do with, I think a lot of times the disproportional application of it, you know, is it's an equal protection argument sometimes. And Dr. Singfield, you know, I think people sometimes hear these arguments from folks like you and Dr. Art Laffer and say, oh, well, Well, how are we supposed to run anything? How is anything supposed to function? Well, you're not advocating for a no tax system, right? You're advocating for a better tax system other than a tax on labor.
A tax that has, so you aren't encouraged to do things to avoid taxes. Let me give you a real simple example. There was a lady in the early 30s, and she was the richest woman in America, named Mrs. Dodge, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they upped the taxes, right? And you know what she did? She moved all of her money into municipal bonds that didn't pay taxes.
Mm.
So that meant that all of her assets, instead of being used to, you know, investing in businesses and other things, were given to states to use in random ways, not driven by the economy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's a good example about how you disperse, or even like, okay, let's say World War II, it was 94% was the highest marginal rate. Would you start a business in those circumstances?
Mm.
You had to pay 94%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, taxation definitely determines behavior.
Yeah, and that's for you personally. Almost everybody out there is always doing some things. And maybe the rich can hire more accountants to do stuff, but everybody's doing ways. And if the tax rate gets low, when I lived in Indonesia, it was a flat tax, 15%. It took it right out of your income. You never saw it. And it was fine, you know? It was simple. I never had to file a tax return. And I'm sure that would, of course, it would, you know, cause a lot of lawyers to be unemployed.
It probably would. It probably would. Well, Dr. Sinkville, we have to run for now, but we would highly encourage people to jump on Amazon and other places they can find books and pick up your new book with Drs. Art Laffer and Brian Domitrovic. There we go. I got it out.
Yeah.
Taxes have consequences, and as you have definitely explained to us, they definitely do.
Can I, one last thing, if people want a little teaser, you put Taxes Have Consequences YouTube. Mm. We, Art and Brian and I had a nice little talk for the Show Me Institute, and it was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's fantastic. We will we'll check that out and tag that onto our social media feeds as well. Dr. Jeannie Sinkville, thanks for joining us here today.
Thank you.